All righty. James chapter 4 tonight. Book of James chapter number 4. I want to read the first 8 verses here tonight and deal with these to some degree. And deal with what I believe is the greatest quality of a Christian's life. This is a discussion that Brother Prettyman and I have had in the past, and we disagree on it, but we agree to disagree. And I'm not sure who's absolutely right, but this is my thought. It's probably somebody else than two of us. Chapter 4 says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We can have on our hands the Scriptures. We thank you this evening that we can not only know that we have the Word of God that's been inspired by you, but you preserved it. Lord, that we can just pick this Bible up and just know that every word here be directly from your mouth. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can apply it. And most of all, we thank you tonight for the Spirit of God who enlivens it. For Lord, if we have just the truth without the Spirit, then we are really dead. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can have this tremendous thing of relationship with you as a result of this. And we pray you bless and work in our hearts tonight. I pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I read a quote today, and I will not be able to quote it correctly or completely. A.W. Tozer, some of you know of him. He was a tremendous author and pastor for many years back in the 30s, 40s, 50s. I believe he died in 1964, something like that. And God used him in some wonderful ways. And I love to read his writings, because when A.W. Tozer writes, he is dealing with things from the spiritual side. And he basically said this in the preface of his book, or one of his books. He basically said this. He said, "If a man has all of his doctrine straight, but has not the life of God through the Spirit," he says, "I'm going to get bored real quick. And I'm going to lay it down," because referring to other books, he's saying, you know, there needs to be something very dramatic here, and that is the Spirit of God who enlivens that. And he says, "Since I have put my attention this direction and allowed the Word of God to come alive through the Spirit," he says, "my whole outlook is tremendously different." And so I'm just passing that along, not a part of the Scripture here tonight. I had a discussion many years ago with Brother Prettyman, as I mentioned a moment ago. And in that discussion, I said, "Brother," I said, I believe that the greatest quality or the greatest character trait of a Christian is humility. And the reason is, I believe it's humility because without it, we can never get saved, because the Bible teaches us we are to humble ourselves a little child. And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, that is tremendous." But he said, "I believe that honesty is the greatest trait. For if a person will not be honest with themselves and about the Scriptures," he said, "they're not going to have any reason for humility." In that discussion, we decided to call it a draw and decide we were both right. And somebody come along one day and say that we're both wrong. But at least in my mind, I believe it's one of the most tremendous traits or abilities or quality that a Christian have, that of humility. Notice with me again, verse number 6. I used to love to quote this to Brother Charles Proud. It says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I would tease him, but I never thought he was really that. That might have been his name. But nonetheless, God tells us here something very, very wonderful, and that is this. The container for God's grace is humility. That which is going to hold the grace of God in our lives is humility. That which is going to cause God's grace to be poured out and not effective in our lives is the opposite of that. Of course, that would be our pride. Pride has a horrible ability of keeping us from submitting to God. Notice verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay? And if you and I do not have the humble hearts, we're not going to have this submission to God. Submission is recognition of one who is much greater, recognition that we are much less, that we are the lesser of two or of many. And so he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And pride often keeps us from that submission. We believe that we can do it better. And also we find that pride allows the devil to have admission in our lives. Notice verse 7 again in the latter part. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? Submit first of all and then resist. However, if we have not the grace of God working in our lives because of pride, we're not going to be submitting ourselves. And then our ability to resist the devil is not going to be there because we're not going to be able to do that in the power of the flesh. Resistance must come through what? Being submissive to the Spirit of God. Allowing Him to work in and through us because we cannot do it of ourselves. So pride allows the devil admission, and pride then allows the devil to have victory in our lives. Notice verse number 8. He says in verse number 8, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so as we look at this whole idea of humility, we find that this closeness to God, this desire here for God to be close is going to bring us to that point, to that place where you and I are willing to allow Him to cleanse us. Not only willing, but there's a desire for the cleansing of God, for His righteousness to flow upon us, that we might have this closeness to God. If there's a fight, if there's a problem between two individuals, we find that it's always caused by one thing. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 10, it says, only by pride cometh contention. So if there's a conflict between two individuals, it's always a result of one's pride. Or two people's pride, that's always involved. And so if we have this in this situation, we find if there's contention between two individuals, we also know something, and that is there is not that closeness. And we find that there's not that strong fellowship that needs to be there. And so again, we put this in application to God. When you and I have a proud spirit, a proud attitude, we're not allowing for the grace of God to come into our lives. We're not allowing Him to be able to work in our lives. We're not going to submit ourselves. We're not going to resist the devil. And we're not going to get near unto the Lord. And so there's something that you and I need desperately, and that is humility to recognize who we are and who God is. At the end of my lesson, I'm going to tell you this, I believe, but I'm going to tell you right now. Humility comes when you see something much bigger than yourself. And that be God. And how we need humility. What is humility? I believe humility, I heard this many years ago, I think it's a tremendous definition. Humility is a teachable attitude. It is an attitude that is willing to allow something to be taught to us. It's no longer a promoter of self. But it's being willing to allow someone else or something else to teach us. And especially when it comes to God, it's not a promoter of self, but of the Savior. Let's go back to verse number 1 for a moment. He says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" Only by pride cometh contention. He says you have these lusts inside, the desires for self. And as a result of that, we find there are conflicts. A lack of humility is going to produce a conflict between ourselves and others. Because when we have that lack of humility, we find that we are promoting ourselves. All you got to do is go on a playground with a group of children and watch them play some sort of a game, some sort of a whatever it might be. Around here, they play four square a lot. It's turned into six square and eight square and ten and so forth. And you can always tell who's promoting themselves, because you see, if the ball lands in your circle or in your square, you're supposed to hit that so it goes into somebody else's square. But sometimes that ball comes and hits that person's square, but it's very close to the line. And no, it was in the other person's square. What's that going on? Wanting to promote themselves rather than somebody else. And you and I are so often like that. And a lack of humility is going to produce conflict. From whence come they? They come not hence, even of our lusts that war in our members. These lusts, these are desires for selfish attainment. Notice verse 2 and 3. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. A lack of humility keeps us from this place of prayer and keeps us from the position where God can answer us. In the great verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, what's the first thing we're to do in order for God to heal the land? If my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. Humility. Humility. Humble themselves. That's interesting. I don't believe it's saying wait for God to humble us, though He will. It's bringing ourselves to that point where we're willing to say, hey, listen, God, you are first. I am way on the bottom of this whole ladder, and I want you first in my life. And a lack of that keeps us from this place of prayer. Because when you and I do not have humility and we have pride, we think, hey, I can do it myself. Why do people not pray individually? Why do people not come to prayer meetings in church? Why do people not attend in this thing of prayer? Because they do not see their needs. Why don't we see our needs? Because of pride. We don't recognize what is really needed in our life. And it keeps us from this place of prayer. And even when we do come, when we ask, when we have pride, we're asking for what? Selfish reasons. Yes, receive not. Why? Ask amiss. Why? We consume it upon our lusts. Today it's very popular in some circles to preach the prosperity gospel. No doubt if you've ever turned on the television and got to some of the religious stations, you've come across these guys who will teach you and tell you that if you're right with God, He is going to make you rich. I won't call any names, but Joel Osteen is probably one of them. Along with a myriad of others. And they're telling us that we're not in the right position unless we are getting wealthy. That's interesting because Paul said, I have abounded. He says, I've been abased. And he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am. Therewith be content. God's teaching is not for abounding. God's teaching is for contentment where we're at. Contentment? Humility. Oh, yes. He said, the moment you think you have what you've lost, boy, you're exactly right. And oftentimes we try to conjure it up. It don't work. It's a false humility. But a lack of it keeps us from prayer. It keeps us from the answers to prayer. Why? Because it's all about ourselves then. But notice something else. Verse number 4. A lack of it keeps your affections from being rightly placed. He says, ye adulterers and adulterers, or adulteresses. Now, he's not referring to the actual act that we normally think of. I believe he's talking here about something even greater. Maybe I can put it in the realm of spiritual adultery. In other words, we are putting other things ahead of God. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so a lack of humility keeps our affections from being rightly placed. Why? We are promoting ourselves. Can't promote yourself with God, so where do we promote ourselves at? In the world. Yeah. And by the way, we as Christians can do that. We have an unusual ability doing that, what I believe. But it keeps our affections from being placed properly. And a lack of humility causes something else. This scripture is a little difficult for me to understand at times when I read it, but notice what it says in verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And I would put it this way, a lack of humility is going to bring about envy in our lives. For when we are humble, when we have this spot where we are in this position of humility, it's not about us. It's about others. It's about God. And whatever is even said about us, even if it's very negative and very deplorable, it really doesn't matter. Because it isn't about us. And we're not upset with them. We're not envious of them. We're not wanting what somebody else has or what somebody else is. Because we know our position of humility. Now, some things we ought to think about in humility that is very wonderful. One of the things is humility really allows God to work. We see it in salvation, do we not? As we've mentioned previously, if we're going to get saved, we would have to have the mind of a child. We have to go back into that kind of a mindset. One of the things we have a hard time with around here is young folks who get saved. And we're always very, very, can I use the word scared, that perhaps they do not understand. And yet a little child has a tremendous ability to just trust. Their whole life is about it. And you and I, if we're going to trust God, we have to come to this spot where we're humble and we're saying, God, I don't do any of it myself. I need you to do it all. We need to see that in our service as well. When we allow God to work through us. If we're going to present our bodies, if we're going to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, then we are allowing Him then to do the work through us. It's not in our flesh. We have not the abilities to defeat the devil. We have not the ability to reach out to people in of ourselves. And so we need to allow the Spirit of God to do that. How do we do that? Well, when we yield, it's because we have humbled ourselves because we don't believe we can do it ourselves. You know why Christians fail a lot in their life? It's not so they can struggle in their life for God. And so many Christians are saying, I'm trying so hard and I fail and I try again, I try again. It's so we finally come and say, I give up, Lord. I can't do it myself. You've got to do it through me and for me. Hmm. There's where we begin. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay? It's in our weakness that the strength of God can come forth, because that's the place of humility. Humility allows God to work. It allows others to work in our lives as well. You know, there's one thing that we often miss out on because we're so proud, and that is the blessings that others want to give us. I remember years ago, somebody wanted to give me something. I don't remember what it was. It was something. Maybe it was money. I don't know. It was something tangible. And I thought, you know, I'm as well off as they are. They shouldn't be doing this. And I said, no, I can't take that from you. And no, I'm fine, brother. I don't need that. You need that worse than I do. And all I remember about the individual was they were a little older than I am. And they said something to me I never have forgotten. It was very simple. They said, don't rob me of my blessing. Don't rob me of my blessing. In other words, they were saying to me, stupid, allow others to be a blessing in your life. Allow them that privilege. And that one little thing taught me a tremendous lesson. I believe a humble Christian is the one who really realizes how much he needs somebody else. I've heard some of God's people, they say, boy, I just love to find me a little cabin out in the middle of the woods, and I just go out there and live by myself and be a hermit, and I just really would get along great. Not if you're a humble Christian. You need people. You love people. You want them around. They're lifeblood to you. Humility allows us to put ourselves in a position of the fullness of the Spirit when He said to submit ourselves one to another. That's a place of humility. That place of submission. Amen. If I stand in this pulpit and believe that I am really telling you how to do it, but not understanding my position is a position of submission, a place where I'm seeking to help somebody else. Through the Spirit of God, then it's of no avail. How we need to just learn this thing of humility. How does it come? Let me go back to a statement. In the book of Isaiah, we find in chapter 6 that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, it did something to him. It put him in a position of fear and trembling. Position of humility. And how we need to see how great God is. I'm amazed at Scripture over and over how God, in showing His greatness, refers to His creative ability. One of these days I'm going to count them. The book of Psalms is loaded. You can't read Job without hearing about the creativity of God. You can't read the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, by any means. You see it over and over again. Because in that action of God in those 6 days, we see everything about us. All the powers, all the things, I mean everything about us that God with His mouth spoke into existence. That's the power of God. we begin to see that, and we begin to see how small we are. By the way, it's that same voice of God that we have this book. It's this book right here that changed my life. Amen. I think about the day of the Battle of Armageddon. It looks like 200 million soldiers are going to gather in the Valley of Megiddo for that battle. And Jesus is going to take care of the whole thing by Himself. Yeah, I'm on His side, Doc says. Amen. I believe we're going to come with Him, but we don't have to fight. We're just kind of like in the background, yeah, get him. It's going to happen so quickly. With the word of His mouth, the sword that comes out of His mouth, they're going to be slain. The blood will be flowing at the height of a horse's bridle. I mean, can you consider blood flowing about the height of these chairs? This is a big place. Because our Savior's great, wonderful ability. That's our God. Amen? And we begin to see the power of God and the ability of God. It begins to put us in perspective. Seeing something that's a whole lot bigger. I preached a sermon many years ago. It just captured my thought. Go out and see something big. Go out and see something big. Sometimes we get blinders on us and we don't see everything. And I remember what really got into my heart as a result of that is I drove north on Interstate 29 and began to look out over the valleys of all the Missouri Valley, from the bluffs clear over on the Nebraska side to the bluffs on this side. Began to see the vastness and how huge it was. And my little world, it was just concentrated right down around here. All of a sudden, I saw how great our God was. Amen? And what's it do? It humbles us, puts us in the right perspective. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord that He might do the work He wants to do in our lives. Father, tonight, thank You for this time we have in the Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You that You watch over us. Thank You that You are the great God. I pray that our hearts, our minds, our lives, Lord, we not focus upon self but upon You, that we might put ourselves in that proper place of humility before You. For it is there that You then can do the great work that You want to do. I pray You will bless in the lives of each of Your people here. Pray for our kids. Pray for the awards that are about to come and the things that transpire. May it be a blessing. For we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. I'm looking at my watch, and I think we're just going to go ahead and dismiss tonight. We got some kids ready to come in here. And we do have awards tonight. You are certainly welcome. I would encourage you to stay because these kids get up on the platform and they're... Well, anyways. So if you do that, that'd be great.